It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. North American and African bodies of water hold nearly half of the fresh water on Earth. And policymakers and experts have been working together for a number of years as part of an effort to improve these areas. We talked with former U.S. Senator Russ Feingold, who was involved with this initiative, and the head of the UW-Madison Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies about what's being done involving fresh water around the world. What would you like to see done when it comes to protecting freshwater resources in the United States? What about internationally? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Get in touch via email or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Russ Feingold served as a U.S. Senator from Wisconsin from 1993 to 2011 and as a Wisconsin State Senator from 1983 to 1993. From 2013 to 2015, he was the U.S. Special Envoy to the Great Lakes region of Africa and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. He's currently a distinguished visiting lecturer in international studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Welcome, Senator Feingold. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Good to be on the show.
And Paul Robbins is the director of the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Paul, thank you for joining us as well.
Glad to be here.
Senator Feingold, tell us about the Great Lakes to Great Lakes Initiative. What is it and what was the hope behind it?
That's a bit of a long story, but I think I can shorten it. Obviously, I have a great love for the Great Lakes here in our region of the country, and particularly Lake Superior. And it just happened that the President Obama and Secretary Kerry asked me to take on the assignment of trying to do something about the horrible conflicts that were going on in eastern Congo, which is situated on the Great Lakes of Africa. And so I was working on that. It's one of the greatest tragedies in human history. Some 6 million people have died in the region. Some 2 million women have been sexually assaulted. So it's a huge problem. But, you know, one thing I noticed as I was talking to the presidents and the people in the region about all these problems and dealing with the armed groups was that there wasn't a whole lot of conversation about the Great Lakes of Africa that they're situated on. And I had an opportunity to connect with the administrator of Region 5 of the EPA, Susan Hedman, who's a longtime friend of mine and a Wisconsinite. And we had dinner, and we thought to ourselves, why don't we see if we could get some kind of initiative where we would connect the Great Lakes of America and Canada with the Great Lakes of Africa in a positive way that could bring benefits for us here in this part of the world, but also help maybe with seeing a positive side of resolving the conflict. So that was the germ of the idea, and it led to a conference on Lake Tanganyika in 2015.
So, Paul, given your work, what's the value of information exchanges like the Great Lakes to Great Lakes Initiative and efforts of a similar nature?
We're really excited to have Russ here to discuss just that. I know that you think of UW-Madison as obviously a destination for freshwater sciences and for African studies, but I don't think we talk enough about how mutual learning can occur between the lakes in Africa and the lakes here in the U.S. The work to increase, you know, and improve regulation is part of it, but I think what we've learned in both contexts is that you have to work with local communities. You have to start with farmers, for example, in both cases. I think there's a lot of similarities. So I think we can actually improve the way we do things here in Wisconsin by listening to our friends in Africa and vice versa. So I just couldn't be happier to have Russ having this conversation with us.
Senator, what are a couple of the shared concerns that the Great Lakes in the United States and Africa face?
It's amazingly similar. You know, for example, invasive species. If you read Dan Egan's wonderful new book, The Death and Life of the Great Lakes, you hear the history of, you know, everything from sea lampreys to alewives to various quagga mussels and others that have devastated the Great Lakes. But, you know, they have similar problems in some of the Great Lakes of Africa, lakes like Lake Victoria, where they have a water hyacinth problem, where they've introduced Nile perch, and they've basically eaten up all the other fish. So the issue of invasive species, the issue of climate change, is very relevant to a huge lake like Lake Tanganyika, and we have lessons to learn from that for our climate change concerns here in the Great Lakes of the United States. Fisheries, the food supply that's available from the waters is greatly affected by a range of factors, from sanitation to logging and agriculture and nutrients mm-hmm. coming into the water there, similar to some of the things that have greatly affected lakes such as Lake Erie here in the Canadian and American area.
Yeah, we'll continue our discussion, and when we come back, we'll talk about some more of the contrasts and the similarities between these two areas. We're talking about the Great Lakes to Great Lakes Initiative here on the Ideas Network. This is The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. The Great Lakes regions of North America and Africa hold almost half the world's fresh water. This hour of The Morning Show, we're talking about the Great Lakes to Great Lakes Initiative and what's being done to protect and preserve these freshwater resources. What would you like to see done when it comes to protecting freshwater in the United States? What about internationally? What policies do you think have been effective in managing the Great Lakes? Where do you see room for improvement? 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. My guest is Russ Feingold, who was a U.S. Senator from Wisconsin from 1993 to 2011, also served as Special Envoy to the Great Lakes region of Africa from 2013 to 2015, and is a distinguished visiting lecturer in international studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Paul Robbins is the director of the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Paul, what is the Nelson Institute and the UW's role in addressing water challenges around the world?
Well, we've got, well, in a sense, limnology, the study of lakes, was invented on this campus. We have data on the Great Lakes and the lakes here around Dane County and across the state going back to the 1850s. So we're sort of a keeper of a legacy of understanding how these water systems work and providing unbiased scientific information so policymakers can make responsible decisions about keeping the water clean. So we train students, generations of students. This is the 50th anniversary of the Water Resource Management Program here on the UW-Madison campus. So generations of people who've been working on Great Lakes issues have come through the doors of the UW-Madison. So it's research, it's education, and like we're talking about in the case of Russ's talk, it's also about addressing and working with the public and communities so people can take home these lessons and operate them in their daily life.
So what additional work do you hope to see the UW do in the future in this area?
Well, I definitely think there's a lot more to be done on the Great Lakes. You would think they're like the most sort of overstudied and well-managed lake systems, but there's a lot more that I think we could be doing there. I think we need to work a whole lot more on what climate change means for water quality around the state. We've seen rainfall events in this region just go through the roof. Recently we had a 15-inch rain event. What does that mean? That means more phosphorus in the water. It means dealing with different lake levels just around the city of Madison. We are just thinking about what the locks and dam system here needs to do to be able to manage the future. So a lot more work to be done on climate change as well.
Senator Feingold, I realize this is probably a bigger question than we can fully answer in the time we have, but could you briefly address how politics and public policy play into how Great Lakes needs are managed, whether they're in Africa or North America?
Well, there comes moments when you have to turn to your political figures. For example, the threat of Asian carp coming up through the Chicago River, potentially into Lake Michigan, was one of those crisis moments that I remember. Making sure we figure out a way to have a Great Lakes compact between not only the states of the region, but also having Canada involved so the water diversions from the lake has some kind of control. But I just want to underscore what Paul was saying. I mean, I am so thrilled to be working with this Nelson Institute. He is a dynamic leader of the Institute, and he is absolutely right that this is a tremendous tradition. So when I first wanted to go over and do this Great Lakes to Great Lakes initiative, what did I do? I went to the original and best limnology department, probably in the world. I went to one of the best African studies departments in the world. And where are they? University of Wisconsin-Madison, my alma mater. And yes, the Nelson Institute does a beautiful job of blending its focus on our area, on Wisconsin and the Great Lakes, and the international focus, which is exactly what its namesake, Gaylord Nelson, the great senator, environmental senator, would have expected.
Well, as Senator, we're approaching the 10th anniversary of the signing of the Great Lakes Compact, which you just referenced, and you were involved in the creation of that compact. Looking back, how do you think the compact has fared given what the hopes were for it?
Well, I am hoping that it is a strong compact where people will actually realize that on occasions we're going to have to say no to the diversions. There have been a couple of approvals which have been somewhat controversial. This is affected by politics sometimes, given who controls the legislatures and the state governments, but at least there's a mechanism in place where you need agreement from all the states in the region in order to have a diversion of that kind. So I think in the long run it will work, but it needs to make sure that it can say no at some points to inappropriate diversions.
Is there anything analogous to that in the Great Lakes region of Africa?
Well, they have worked on it. There's a Lake Tanganyika Water Authority, and they were the ones who hosted us in Kigoma and in Tanzania, and they are trying to connect with some of the other authorities in the region, Lake Victoria and others. It's at an earlier stage. Our cooperation, of course, with Canada and other countries with regard to water, it goes back, you know, to the 19th century. But these are areas that are learning from some of the mechanisms we put in place, and they are very eager to try to come together and manage the various watersheds of the Great Lakes regions of Africa in a reasonable way. So this is a great opportunity for us to work together.
We're talking with former U.S. Senator Russ Feingold and director of the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies at UW-Madison, Paul Robbins. I'll toss this out to both of you. I'd like to hear from both of you on this. Maybe we'll start with Paul first. Given what you know about people coming together on water policy, both particularly here, but maybe abroad elsewhere, what questions are lingering out there that we still have to answer about water policy in these two regions?
Well, I definitely agree with Russ that there are good agreements out there. They're not exactly ironclad. One of the things we've learned from one of our alums, Aaron Wolf, who's I think he's at Oregon State now, is that these compacts work often because it's too important to fail. Water between these countries and these states, you would think they'd be going to war over it. But in fact, for the most part, these water treaties work, even between countries like India and Pakistan, not friendly border, and yet you have a very, very tight and successful water treaty. So the mystery is, when do they work and when do they fail? And I think Russ would probably have a lot more knowledge about that than I would, but I think we need to know a lot more about what causes cooperation and when does it fall apart.
Senator Feingold, what are the lingering questions and challenges, and how do we address them?
Well, of course, cooperation is at the top of the list, but also just a real respect for unintended consequences. If you read Dan Egan's wonderful new book about the Great Lakes, you see various bright ideas that really backfired, such as when the St. Lawrence Seaway was created in the 1950s. I mean, this was meant to improve commercial shipping, international shipping within the United States, but it was the beginning of the enormous danger and damage to the Great Lakes. So somehow we have to figure out a way, using modern science and knowledge, to not have a solution that's going to completely backfire. And the same thing goes for the African region as well.
What do you hope to see moving forward? What are the new policy initiatives that we need to take a look at? Some things that, particularly in North America, that will help us to protect the Great Lakes into the future. Senator Feingold?
Well, I think Paul already hit on it, which is really cooperation among the various states in a region that is affected. You know, just like when there's a disaster in one part of the country, if the people in that area don't go across political lines to make their plea to the federal government, they're not going to get the help. And so we have to avoid partisanship in our part of the region. And I saw, for example, on this Asian carp and others a few years ago, a willingness of everybody to drop their political differences to say, look, we have to protect our area. So to me, that getting to an understanding again that certain issues are nonpartisan, certain issues should be bipartisan, that has to drive the way that public policy is done, especially in this area.
And what about some of the unique challenges of that Africa faces in dealing with many of the problems, Senator, you outlined, the armed conflicts that are ongoing that kind of have prevented some progress in some of these areas? What can the international community do to provide some assistance here to move us forward?
Well, Well, that's actually part of the problem is the international community. You have China and Russia, Turkey and other countries involved in that region in a way that, you know, often has to do with exploitation or taking resources and not supporting the kinds of things that would lead to democratic governments and a fair sharing of resources. And, you know, the biggest thing I heard from people, I saw a survey recently that said that in the Democratic Republic of Congo, the United States was still the most popular country of all the countries in the world. But the problem is that they feel that we're not present there, that we don't do enough there, that we're sort of standing back. And that's exactly what this initiative was about, was to show that the United States may not build all the soccer stadiums over there like China does, but we do care enough to try to share our information and work together to make sure there's clean and safe water for people to use and to get their food from.
Senator, you're giving a public lecture tonight at the Wisconsin Union Theater in Madison. Can you give us a little bit of a preview of what you're going to be talking about?
I think you just heard it. Basically, it's that, you know, this was an opportunity in a situation that had to do with armed conflict, where basically by changing the subject to talk about what we have in common, what these various international actors in that area have in common, how they could all benefit from doing work to protect their lakes and get the benefit from the lakes, that's a way to have peace and to have conflict resolution and to get a peace dividend. So that will be sort of the message of the talk, and I look forward to it.
All right, Senator Feingold, Paul Robbins, thank you so much for joining me this hour. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Paul Robbins is the director of the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and Russ Feingold served as U.S. Senator from Wisconsin from 1993 to 2011. He was a state lawmaker for a decade before that. From 2013 to 2015, he was the U.S. Special Envoy to the Great Lakes region of Africa and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. He is currently a distinguished visiting lecturer in international studies at the University of Wisconsin. Madison. He'll be giving a public lecture tonight at 7 o'clock at the Wisconsin Union Theater in Madison. The topic is the Great Lakes to Great Lakes Initiative, Mutual Interests in Africa, and it's sponsored by the Nelson Institute. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.